Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
Just reading this morning, we're taking from Psalms. We're reading Psalms 123. Psalms 123. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he may have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those who are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud.
Wow. You give your Bible to Romans chapter 12. We're going to launch out of Romans chapter 12 this morning. Certainly good to see you. We have a great crowd today. We do have visitors. Thank you for coming. We say that we want you to know that you are honored guests, and you truly are. We want you to feel that. We want you to know that you are part of our worship service. We're glad that you're here. We're coming to the part of our worship service now where we honor and reverence God by listening, paying close attention to God's Word and what God has to say for us today. Romans chapter 12. Delighted that you're here. Find that in your Bible. Verse 2. He says that, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." I read a story this week about a couple of fellows that were at a concert. It was an outdoor concert. And one of the fellows had seen this guy, met him briefly one other time, and he seen him there, and he said, hey, I know you. He said, "How you doing? I remember you, and how's life treating you?" He said, "How's life treating me?" He said, "Look around you, man. It's been raining for 2 weeks. We're out here in this concert. I got mud up to my knees. And this economic bubble that we're in, it's going to bust any time. And I'm getting cold out here in this concert. How about you?" And the guy kind of, yeah. Okay. So I think he filtered out there somewhere, and he's seeing another guy that knew this guy. And he brought up, he said, "Guess who's at the concert?" And he brought up the guy's name. And he said, I kind of asked him how it was going. The guy said, "Oh, man." He goes, "Listen, don't do that." He said, "The guy is financially set. There's no apparent tragedies in his life. He's got it made. And he's just a world-class complainer." World-class complainer. I didn't know that was an Olympic sport, man. But I'm going to tell you, I think there's a few of us that are trying out for the gold medal in the thing, as I think about that. World-class complainer. It seems in many ways, I think that's kind of symbolic with our society these days and our culture. There are cultures, I think, out there, that don't value that. They don't, it's, you know what, just sit by quietly. Don't make a fuss, but not the good old United States of America. As citizens of this country, hey, it seems like we take pleasure in voicing everything that we don't think goes our way. We complain. If it's not the way we want it, I'm telling you what, we're going to tell you about it. And we're going to make a big fuss about it. And when we get done making a big fuss about it, we're going to complain even to social media and make a bigger fuss about it. Now, when you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we need not to be conformed to this world. Now, when we think about that, and when preachers preach about that, what we preach about? We preach about conforming to the world with sexual immorality, doing the things and morally that the world does. We're not going to be like that. We don't want to dress like the world. We don't want to talk like the world. All of that, we're going to use that passage. But this morning I'm wondering if it's a lack of gratitude sometimes. The way that we constantly carp about things and complain about things, and that's what the world does. And I think that a lot of us are conforming to that. I think we're fitting the mold of the world in that regard. And that's why I think this morning, or this week or two, I've been thinking about that adage. What is that? Count your blessings. We always hear that. You hear that as a kid. We need to count our blessings. And I just wonder if some of us, we just need to stop lying. And we need to stop complaining and count our blessings. Instead of doing that, I think we need to be a people that are thankful to God and recognize what God has done and how He has blessed us and how He has taken care of us. But folks, I said, a lot of us fit that mold of just constantly complaining. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Notice what he says, verse 7. He says, having been firmly rooted, Paul says, and now being built up in him, Jesus, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. Some translations say with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. Now think about that. Are you overflowing with thankfulness? Does that reflect your life? Is that a character trait that you have? Are you just overflowing with thankfulness? You know, when I look at our country, I think about the country I was born, raised in, lived in. You think about the standard of living that all of us have. You think about how God has blessed all of us, the way that God has blessed us, the freedoms that we enjoy, the opportunities that we enjoy, all of those things. Just overflow. Do we overflow with thankfulness and respect? And you know, the preacher gets up and he starts thinking about, talking about counting your blessings. And you know, I think we need to really think more about the blessings that we have. And your reaction probably is going, what do you want to preach about that for? Well, that's just as natural as breathing. I mean, besides all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, I constantly think about, and you know, that just comes natural to be thankful for that. I'll tell you something, that's not what's coming natural. What's coming natural these days is that constant complaining. That's what's coming natural. The criticizing, the moaning that's out there. Most people today have a giant case of the complaining. It's a nasty side infection of the grumble. That's what's going on out there. I hear it all the time. And I'm sure that you do too. Now, I'm just like, hey, it's not that stop. It's time we stop doing that. And it's time, maybe, that we begin to think a little bit about what God has done for us and appreciate the fact and the blessings that God has given us. This morning, I want to note four things that I've got down here that will help us, and I guess I'll call them barriers. There are barriers in our life that keep us from being thankful. Things that keep us from showing gratitude. Why is it so hard for us to do that? Why is it so hard for you to be grateful? Why is it so hard for you to focus on the blessings that God has given? Prophet Isaiah, come with me there. And I was looking at Isaiah and had the prophet. You know, there's a lot in Isaiah about pride. Isaiah chapter 2. I want you to note verse 9. The prophet says, so the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased. But do not forgive them. Enter the rock, he said. Enter the rock. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Enter the rock and hide the dust from the terror of the Lord, from the splendor of his majesty, the proud look of man, he says, will be abased. And the loftiness of man will be humbled. And the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. He's addressing Christ. I told you earlier over chapter 9. Notice Isaiah chapter 9, again, dealing with the same thing. He says this in verse 9. Alright? And all the people know it. Ephraim, the inhabitants of Samaria, asserting in pride and in arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down. But we will rebuild with smooth stones. The sycamores have been cut down. But we'll replace them with cedars. Hey, look at us. This has fallen down, don't worry. Hey, we'll build bigger. We'll build better than that. Don't worry what happens. We've got this. Pride fills oneself with a sense of self. And pride fills one with self-want and what self needs. And so if you have that pride, I think that works in two directions. I think a lot of times pride, and I think first and foremost, is, you know what? Yeah, I got a lot. I got a lot, but I'm going to tell you how I got it. I worked for it. I did I got everything I've got but my sacrifice and the labor with my two hands. What's mine is mine because I earned it. And I worked for it. Luke chapter 12. Tells a parable of a fellow with a big dose of this price. Parable of the rich farmer. I want you to look at Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 15. Jesus said, beware, he says, and be on guard against every form of greed. Luke 12, verse 15. He says, even when one has the abundance of his life consists of his possessions, he told the parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down the barn, build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease. He says, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, there's lots of meanings in that little text. There's lots of eyes in that little text. It says, the land of a rich man produced plentiful, verse 16. God blessed him. Who made the land? Who sent the rain to the land? Who sent the sunshine to the land? In this, what's missing? Where's the thanksgiving to God? Where's the credit to God? It's all about me. It's all about us. Verse 20, who's a fool? Why is he a fool? Well, there's no gratitude. There's no thankfulness to God. We need to think about that. James says that every good and perfect gift comes from who? The Father of light. James 1:17, I want you to think about that. Every good thing that you have, if you've got something good, God has a hand in it. We need to think about that. You know, I get so weary. Boy, we got one more ball game left, Super Bowl. I hate it, this thing. But you know what? I get, you know, at first it's pretty cool the first of the year, but when the season goes on and on, and those guys end up in the end zone, you know what I mean? What will I get? You know, fight the ball, he's the ball, whatever. And does the dance. Alright. And right before that happened, what happened? You had 2,000 pounds of meat on an offensive line that cleared the way of 2,500 pounds of meat on a defensive line. Alright. And made a hole big enough to throw a guy in. I could afford a touchdown. I could walk through it. Alright. So you think about that. And there's no credit given to those guys. Look what I did. You know what I mean? I'm there. I'm in here. I'm for it. I wonder sometimes if we're not very grateful, because sometimes I think we need to turn around. I think we need to turn around. I think we need to look what God has done in our lives and give God credit for what he has done in our lives. I think pride plays a big part in that. And I think also, I think there's two things. I think another thing pride does is, I think a lot of us get the case of deserve. I deserve. One writer said this, I like what he said. A lack of thankfulness is often associated with a low view of God and a high view of me, a high view of my worthiness, and a high view of what I deserve. And I live where I live and do what I do, so I deserve it. And I deserve better. You know what you really deserve? What's the wage of your sin? Death. Everybody in this room deserves death for what they have done. Think about that. God cares for me despite what I've done. God has blessed me anyway. He didn't strike me dead the first time I sinned. He didn't strike me dead the 100th time I sinned. He decided me dead the 10,000th time that I sinned. Instead, what he does is forgive me again and again and again and again. And he forever cares for me, continues to bless me. How big can I arrogantly say, hey, not enough, God. I want more. Chop, chop, chop. Let's get on the ball, God. You need to give me what I deserve. How pathetic and sad is that? When you start thinking about what that means, and what that does. And we're seeing that kind of pride for what it really is. The foundation of our thanksgiving. The foundation of our gratitude. And as we count our blessings, is a constant awareness. A constant awareness of what God has done for you. And how much God has blessed you. And that you're in God's presence. And that He continues to bless you. And your life. Being thankful to the Lord. It's where counting your blessings begins and ends. And I'm going to tell you something. The more you think about God, Unless you're going to think about me. And I, and myself, and what I deserve. Count your blessings. And I tell you what, God will be in that picture. Take another barrier. Sometimes we have a problem with gratitude. It's because of the habit that we develop. You know, we've talked a little bit about habits. You know what a habit is? Our habit is to complain. That's a habit. Look at another Proverbs. Notice what Solomon says here. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17, verse, I didn't get a handout. I'll never get those handouts. 27. Thank you. Chapter 17. Verse 27. 27 and 28. He says this. He who restrains, Proverbs 17, 27. He who restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered true. Now, let's just work on that a little bit. If you look at that, should we take verse 28? Even if a fool, if he keeps silent, what he can say, shouldn't he be thought to be grateful? Yeah. But you know, we live in a world, I think we live in a world that doesn't value silence. It doesn't. We live in a world that says, you need to vent. Just get it out now. Don't you be like a volcano. Just keep all that in and just blow up. No, you need to vent. You got to say, oh, no. I'm thinking about teaching that. Proverbs chapter 13. Vain all the time, vent all the time. That's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. He says this, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips, right at that time, to ruin. Sometimes we don't guard our mouth, do we? And we don't restrain our lips, do we? The habit that we fall into, we're constantly spewing unhappiness. And we're constantly whining and moaning about your life and how you want your life is different. ESPN the other day, again, that's another sports mistake. These two guys were talking, the ESPN guy, they were talking about these golfers that went off on this Caribbean cruise. Well, they went to, not a cruise, they flew to this island to play golf. And they were talking about, just, you know what, how terrible their life was because in comparison to these guys that flew off of the Caribbean island to play golf, and boy, they were really roughing it. And they were going on and on and on in comparative sense to their life, just how terrible they had. You work for ESPN. How bad can your life be, Lovey? You know, you talk about sports. You get paid to talk about sports. Most guys talk about that. I never got a nickel for talking to you about them all day. And think about that. How tough is it? Hey, I'm going to the game. Oh, okay, well, you know, 110 years. You know, what are you going to say about that? What's the ESPN's job to complain? They complain about the refs, they complain about the polling, they complain about the job, they complain about the plate, the game, all that stuff. That's what they do. Complain, complain, complain. We complain about our lives, and what happens is, it becomes habit. We fall into that habit, and you know what? We don't even see the people around us that are looking at you and saying, oh, God, you. I'll tell you what, you got made. You got a good life. We don't recognize those people because we're too busy complaining. We don't even notice our lack of thanksgiving because somehow we don't restrain and we don't restrain our mouth. We open wide and complain. Those lips destroy gratitude. Those lips destroy thankfulness. That's what we need. We need better habits. We need to develop better habits. Reading on this, one of the things, and it's a very elementary, and I'm sure you've heard it, but you know, one of the things that we need to do that to develop gratitude is just simply say thank you. And that's even if a fast food worker at the counter that doesn't care what he gave you, and you don't, it's thank you. I read this, I'm going to quote this. This is somebody was writing about gratitude, and it was a family, and this was their habit. Notice what this woman wrote. She says this, when I was a little girl, my family would have a prayer, and at the end of the prayer, my mama would have each of us stand up and say what we were grateful for today. This is our least favorite part, but over time, we got used to sitting there thinking about the day, trying to come up with something to be grateful for to have something to say when it was our turn. Today, I am grateful for this. So, she said, create a consistent time, maybe around dinner time or on the way home. Make it a habit that every day you reflect on the good things that God has done. She concludes the article by saying, remember, everybody has to take a turn. You know, I like that habit a lot better than all the moaning and the criticizing and the complaining and the whining. Let's make it a habit. So thank God for what you have. And thank God for the blessings that you have. And voice those blessings. This is the third observation. I think sometimes that the reason gratitude is so difficult sometimes is because we get around people and we associate with people that aren't grateful. And what happens is, with us, we just kind of blend in. And then we're not grateful, you know, so, and I show you that in Bible, turn to number 14. What we're reading about in number 14 is the occasion where the folks are at the land of Israel, the promised land. And if you think about that occasion, God worked really hard and long in getting them there. And now, this is it, we're going in. We're going in the promised land, He's promised this land, and we've been freed from slavery, and we're going to Canaan now. And all through chapter 13, you know, that what they do? Well, they sent out some spies to assess the land. You remember the story, how that goes. And those guys came back, and they said, hey, we're in a lot of trouble here. Those guys, we're not going to be able to take this land. They're stronger than we are. All right? Verse 1, chapter 14. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in the wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it have not been better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let's appoint a leader. And let's go back to Egypt. I'm not sure that there's not a more stunning passage in the Bible. When you read that, these people saw the pin plant. These people saw the Red Sea split apart, walked on dry land. They seen the Egyptian army drown. They were Sinai. They seen the sun, the lightning, the thunder. They felt the quake. They heard the rumbling. These people knew. They knew the power of God. But, hey, 10 guys come, and they start up the never-it's-not-going-to-work parade. And before you know it, the next thing you know, everybody there joins in. Oh, it's not going to happen. We're not going to go in. And so they're around all these folks, and it happens. And really what this point is that it shows you how ingratitude can lead to sin. They really sinned against God. They complained against God. They complained against Aaron and Moses. And verse 4, what's it lead to? Outright rebellion. That's what happened. Now, these people have been starting their day every day going, hitting their knees in the morning, saying, Lord, thank you so much. I was a slave, and you freed me, and you blessed me. We were a worthless nation of slaves, and I'm in such a great position now. Thank you, God. Thank you for your power. Thank you for everything that you've done. But you know what? That wasn't happening. That hadn't happened. And now that all the great acts of God, well, that's way in the past. It's been over a year, don't you know? They've forgotten God. And they've forgotten what God could do. They're not mindful of the blessings that He's given to them. Not thankful for them. And then somebody starts complaining and everybody else gets involved. That happens today, doesn't it? See somebody on Facebook. Oh, you won't believe what happened, man. What the information? You think that's bad. You can see what I do. Right. See how that is? That's the information. We're going to call the bad thing that happened to you. Maybe you have a poisonous environment at work. Everybody's talking about the boss, what a sticker he is, and all that stuff. And, hey, you know what he did to me? Oh, yeah, you think that's bad. See what he did to me. I will tell you something. That kind of thought, that kind of complaining happens everywhere. It happens anywhere, and it happens everywhere. Kind of festival of brightness. It just breaks out quickly, you know what I mean? Let's just all complain. Everybody gets caught up in it. And I'll tell you what, it's hard to be thankful in that moment. It's hard, you know, when that's going on around you, it's hard to be thankful in that moment. Look at verse 6. Because Joshua, son of Nun, Caleb, he says, he's fighting on the land, all right. One of those is five. He tore his clothes. Joshua. They spoke to all the congregation, the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into the land, and he'll give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. I'll tell you what, that's a lot of courage. That took to stand out there like Joshua did. That took a lot of courage. That took a lot of faith. It's hard to be thankful when everybody else is grasping. Yeah, you know, we're one of those kids today. Oh, it's awful out there. The schools are awful out there. The computers, all the high tech out there. It's just so damaging. The technology and the computers, the schools, the TVs, all of that. Yeah, it's terrible. Well, that's pretty hard for somebody in a group like that to say, well, you know, I got a good church I go to. And you know what? We can use technology. And you know what? It's probably what? It's bad out there, but it's not as bad as it was when Noah's left. I mean, only 8 people made it on the whole planet. No, when everybody's complaining, it's hard to be the guy that stands up and starts humming, singing, and be happy. All right? It's just hard to do that. Well, let's know verse 10. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. There's what? What? You're talking positive? Don't you let us complain. You're not going to let us complain? Well, we'll just kill it. I want to challenge you this morning that when one of these complaint trains get rolling, if you have the courage like Joshua to stand up, say, wait a minute now. Just, you know, where are you going with this? You just ran in. You want a solution to this? You go and invite some people over to church and you're off the house and somebody takes out the cell phone and gets some internet porn and starts passing that around. What are you going to do? Hey, what are you doing here? Shut that down. We don't have that in this house. How about you there and somebody gets out a line of cocaine? Hey, let's sniff some coke. What are you doing? We don't do that here. But somebody gets up and starts complaining. What do you do? Well, you sit there off and you don't say anything. Next time that happens, how about saying something? How about saying, really, I'll help you with what you're complaining about, but I'm not going to join in. And I'm not going to join in the party. All right? We make a stand for a lot of things, but it seems like when that complaint train goes, we just perk right down. We don't challenge the complainers, and I'm saying that's what you need to do. You need to challenge the complainers. Let's counter bless them. Let's talk about some good things. Let's not be so negative. Let's be thankful for what God's blessed us with, a fourth barrier. Sometimes. I think it's difficult to be grateful sometimes because really and truly the squeaky wheel does get the grease, it gets the oil. And there's sort of a way I think sometimes that because that happened, I think it robs us sometimes from being grateful. You know that expression, the squeaky wheel does get the oil. I say that now because what we do, we respond to talk. All right? Whatever's making the most noise, the problems, and what we do, we focus our energy, we focus our attention on those things that are problems. You know, my car doesn't start, and you know, what's not working, and what happens when something happens? We get focused on that problem. Nothing else matters. We need to fix that problem, you know, and when we have a problem with the car, we're not focused on the 5 years that we got in that car for 5 years and started every time. No, nobody's going down the road following the record or in the driver's record saying, thank you, Lord, for this amazing car. You know, nobody does that. It's been a good one for 5 years. Lord, I know the alternator went out today, but that's all right. Nobody does that. Nobody thinks that way. All right? So when there's a problem, we've got to address the problem. And then we get good at complaining about the problem. It's the problem, don't you know? We forget the wheel that doesn't need the oil. We forget about the church family. We forget about our neighbors and friends that are good to us. We forget about the furnace that runs. We forget about all of that. We forget about the blessings that we have because it's that squeaky wheel we got to tend to. That's where we go. And we take those things for granted. But you know what? Because they don't make any noise, don't mean that you need to forget about them and not count them. Not remember them. Not exclude them out of your life. Well, You know, you don't have
to know something for to maintain.
Yeah, I say that. You know, just because you don't thank God for your civil liberties, do you lose them?
No.
Whenever time you put on your coat when it's cold out there, and you don't thank God for the coat, does it disappear? No, that doesn't happen. But you know, you ever pray to the elders? You know, even if you don't pray to the elders, don't they still watch over your soul? You know, and if you don't tell your wife that you don't appreciate her, well, that doesn't mean she's not going to divorce you. You know, why? Well, you never hear anything from the elders. You never hear anything from your wife. You never, you know, there's no real question. So we tend to forget about the good things. We forget about those things. The bad news for gratitude is that what happens is we're so distracted with the things that are making noise that we forget to be thankful for the things that aren't making noise. That's the point. Numbers 28. Notice again in Numbers. And really this is a piece of the first fruit. Verse 26. Also on the day of the first fruit, he says, when you present a new grain offering to the Lord in your feast of weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. You shall offer a burnt offering for some soothing aroma to the Lord, two young bulls, one ram, seven male lambs, 1 year old. When you look at that, what this is about is harvest festival. Now, I want you to think about all the things that can go wrong in the harvest. You know what I mean? All the things that break and break down and all the work, the farming and everything. And then finally what happens is you get a harvest. And everything has to stop. That's what I'm saying here. You shall do no work. And instead of focusing on what didn't go right, or maybe you could have done this right, had more harvest, no, we're not going to do that. What we're doing here is we're going to be thankful for what we have, all right? Yeah, there were squeaky wheels. Yeah, there were things that were happening, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about what we need to be thankful for. This harvest. Psalm 34. Look at verse 1. Solomon says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'll tell you what. It's hard to praise God continually if we don't make an effort to ever notice what God's doing in our life. Gratitude. Thankfulness. Praising and thanking God for our life and how things have went for us in our life. Please get the song book out. What I'm saying this morning is I think we need to stop sometimes and notice the good that God has done. Put the oil can down. Look at the blessings in your life. Count the blessings that are in your life. Gratitude really is an act of will. You need to determine to do that. You need to set your mind to do that. That's a decision that you make. To be thankful and grateful to God. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the invitation. Please come. That's together we stand and sing.